the things iPhones can do these days.
iPhone kiosk.
Is there a charger up there?
Oh, you give him a
little. Wait, it's not on yet.
Give him a little.
A little over a week ago, I was actually traveling in the Bronx, my old haunting grounds, where I grew up over 50 years ago, traveling to Marina del Rey, which is a very well-known Chasana Hall. I assume maybe some of you have attended weddings there. It's actually one of the areas in the Bronx which is there is the Sheris HaPleita of the Bronx that remains in that area. Anyway, I had not been to a Chasana there in many, many years, and so I obviously activated my GPS, and the GPS tells me Cross Bronx Expressway, which I began to travel on. And if I remember correctly, it's in Throgs Neck area, and you go straight on the Cross Bronx. However, my GPS, in its inscrutable and scintillatingly infinite wisdom, brilliantly decided to take me off the Cross Bronx Expressway at one point on Jerome Avenue. And I have not been back in the Bronx in many, many years. And certainly not in that area of the Bronx. And so I'm off on Jerome Avenue, and I'm beginning to, shall we say, in my car, which more or less had the windows closed all the way to the hilt, I'm moving along, coasting along, and I begin to look around me, and a certain sense of, shall we say, fear and fright somehow emerged. I said to myself, there's no reason why I should be afraid. I know this area well. I was here 50 years ago. I grew up in the Bronx. And along the way, I decided to visit my old haunting grounds. I was going on East Tremont Avenue. I literally have not been here, or Rav Reichman, in probably, I imagine, over 40 years. It's taking me on East Tremont Avenue. I'm passing all the streets that I know. I also, unfortunately, went looking for every shul that I davened in the Bronx, and every single one that I passed is unfortunately and tragically today a cloister. That means a church. Lo aleinu. I decided to look for my day school, Solanta Yeshiva, on Webster Avenue. I know it's right off East Tremont, so I figured I wouldn't have to go in too far, because I was thinking maybe I should go and visit my house where I grew up on 2114 Crotone Avenue. But that's about 9 blocks in, and I was said to myself, there's a Mokum Sakana here, and one has to be careful. Anyway, I found Webster and found the school. It's now Webster's Motel. Very fascinating kind of clientele there. I didn't get out of the car to see exactly who was there. But why am I telling you this story? At one point, I opened up the window and I hear the following. All kinds of rather interesting, fascinating music. To my mind, raucous in nature. A lot of cacophony. But together with it, language which I don't believe I have heard in probably 50 years of my life. All types of cuss words, all types of other language. I'm not so familiar with it, I'll be honest with you, Baruch Hashem. I have not literally been exposed to this in decades. And it's all around me, and this is how people speak to each other. Reyim Ahuvim. Beloved friends. Cussing each other out with all types of fascinating language. Use of the F language seems to be one of the most prominent features. I became even more frightened when I stopped at every red light, which the GPS, unfortunately, I was debating myself, am I allowed to cross the red lights because it's a Shas HaSakana? Maybe there's a Mokum LaHakel. I did see someone who crossed the red light and was immediately hit by another car. So that more or less constrained me considerably. As a matter of fact, he was not only hit, I would say he was essentially devastated. His entire car, at least the front of his car, was no longer there. I had to get around that. That was not a simple matter as well, since a fire, a conflagration broke out at that point in time. Before you knew it, the fire department there, the police department was there, and a lot of very fascinating local denizens who also appeared on the scene. Anyway, this is my, shall we say, my tour of the Bronx. It took me actually about 48 minutes to get to Marina del Rey. And when I came there, so under the chuppah, I was going to make a Birchas HaGomel. But I decided maybe that wasn't the proper venue at that point in time to make a Birchas HaGomel. This is my introduction to the topic I wish to talk about, which is called, in halachic terminology, nibble peh. Perhaps you're not familiar with it. When Adam Arisha was created, Adam and Chava, so the Torah says, Vayiha Adam the Nefesh Chaya, and the Targum has a famous Targum, he comments, what's the Nefesh Chaya? The Ruach Mamalala. What is the uniqueness of a human being? How do we differ from all the others? The Ramban actually has four categories of different created beings. Domain, Tzomea, Chai, Medaber. And that's the language that the Rishonim actually used to describe these four categories. Domeim, of course, are inanimate objects. Tzomeach is the vegetable, plant life. Chai refers to the animal kingdom. And Midaber refers to the human being. The unique advantage that we have over every other category is our ability to speak. Ruach memalala, our ability to express ourselves, to articulate ideas. And that's the greatness of a human being. Nivel peh, obviously, when a person uses inappropriate language, foul language, abusive language, language that's coarse, language that's guttural, language that's base, language that reflects, shall we say, a certain kind of mindset and mentality that is really the undoing, the very negating of the Tzelem Elokim that Hashem created us with. Our Tzelem Elokim expresses itself dafka in Dibur, but Dibur that is striving for Kedusha, striving for sanctity, striving to hallow life, to sanctify life, to consecrate life. And when we use Nivel Peh, it's known that it's the undoing of our Tzelem Elokim. I'll just share with you a few Gemaras that relate to this topic that are very well known, and I'm soon you probably are somehow somewhat familiar with it. I'll mention first the Ran in the Doran, one of the most famous Rans in Shas. I only know it because it's on the Beza Med Aleph. Usually I get to the Beza Med Aleph in the Masechtis. So the Ran writes on the Beza Med Aleph, he asks the Kasha, and he quotes an answer of Abinatam. He's not happy with the answer, and he says on this answer of Abinatam, Utsmahani Elam, Pe Kodosh, Echom Adobazet. Astounding statement of the Ran. Pe Kodosh, he calls Abinatam. This holy mouth. A similar lashon you find in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara speaks about the death of Chanina ben Tradyon. But the lashon of Pe Kadosh, Echom Adav Azeh, what is he talking about? A pshat that he's not happy with. And he calls him, how could a Pe Kadosh say something of this nature? So clearly, our mandate is to try to the extent that we can, to develop a Pe Kadosh. It is not an easy thing, that's for sure. I remember growing up as a youngster, my father, Olav HaShalom, was very, very makpid on how we speak in our home. Even to the extent of, if we would say to someone else, S-H-U-T-U-P, I imagine you could spell that out. If we would use such a language, my father would wash my mouth with soap. Could you imagine that? What's wrong with saying to someone, S-H-U-T-U-P, someone who was obviously blabbling and going on, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shiur, and you simply tell him, first you ask him perhaps, will you be quiet? He continues. Will you cease and desist? He continues. After a while you tell him, S-H-U-T-U-P. Isn't that the logical thing to do? My father, the moment he heard that, my mouth would be washed with soap. I grew up in a family of big tzaddikim. My brothers never used such language. But I cannot contend that I was a tzaddik. I probably was the rebel of my family. Not probably, was. And I used such language. I found it very effective. And especially if I said it to people very passionately, I think they got the point. And my father told me, the Gemara says in Erevin, the Gemara says that Adam Nikar, Bikiso, Bikoso, Bikaso, and there's a famous, I think it's in Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't have a chance to look it up, I just this morning tried to put it all together. The Gemara says that the Talmud Chacham is Nikar Bi'abah Dvarim, again it says Bikiso, Bikoso, Bikaso, and I think it says V'yesh Omrim Af B'Dibura. How do you measure Talmud Chacham? By his language. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis in Perakei, when the Rambam describes the deportment of Talmud Chacham, the Rambam tells you, Eino Meshana B'Diburo, the way he speaks to people, B'Nachas in Kol Abrios, Maktim Shalom V'Chol Odom, he says hello to everyone, Mesapeh B'Sheva Chavero V'Lo B'Gnuso, he speaks about other people in a positive way, and the Rambam, in, as Rabbi Reichman Shlita mentioned, the Rambam, in his Pirsha Mishnayis and Pirkei Avos, Ram describes different types of dibur. He alludes to this as well in Hilchos Deos, that someone who is a Talmud Chacham only speaks b'divrei chachma or b'gmilas chasadim, speaks words of wisdom, words of Torah, or gmilas chasadim, or things that are necessary. So lashon nekiyah is something which is very, very fundamental, very basic. The Gemara in the beginning of Psachim has a famous discussion from Sukkim in Parshas Noach. But the Gemara points out, the Olam al Yotzi Adam Davim Meguneh Mipiv. One should never say something which is Meguneh. How does the Gemara describe what's called the Davim Meguneh? Something which is inappropriate. Something which is not proper. The Gemara says that the Torah, when it describes the animals in terms of the Tevas Noach, so it says, Min HaBehema HaTahora, Min HaBehema Sherinin HaTahora. It uses extra words, extra letters, as opposed to saying what it should have said. Namely, Min HaBehema HaTmeya. Why? The answer is because the Torah does not want to speak using Lashon Megunah, inappropriate language. Ad kedei kach. I saw a mashal found in Maseches Derech Eretz. This I went looking for this morning. Baruch Hashem, I found it. I'm not so familiar with Maseches Derech Eretz. In Perek Gimel, mashal ma'adov adome l'traklin gdola. I have a massive, beautiful, palatial kind of palace. And what is in the middle of that palace? Biv Shabursiki, a cesspool, right in the middle of that palace. Kach Adam Noya Meshubach, here we have people who are refined, people who are obviously princely in nature, who motzi davar meguneh mipiv. So what are they basically? Cesspools. That's where they are. Biv Shabursiki. The Gaon writes, I couldn't find the Siddur Agra here, but the Gaon writes at one point in the Igeres HaGra, HaPeh, the mouth of a person, says the Gaon, Kodesh Kadoshim, is the sanctum sanctorum of an individual. Kodesh Kadoshim. And I found here, Baruch Hashem, in this Beis Medrash, you can find Kemat everything, usually in English, Baruch Hashem. So the Gaon writes in the Igeres, Bali Gatvin Holchim Tomeretzu Kaladim V'Adam Ve'Nifradim Mimenu V'Kersin Kol Dibur V'Dibur. Every utterance that a person articulates is written down and inscribed. And Rachmanu Litzlan Achrei Meiv Yesim Shana, a person is going to have to make an accounting of everything that he says. There's a well-known Machlokes the Rambam, the Ramban in Chumash, that you probably are familiar with. I think the Ramban, beginning of Parshas Kisisa, quotes this argument. The Rambam claims that the reason why Hebrew is called Lashon HaKodesh because there are no words that are used to describe the sexual organs. Everything is described bikinui, using some sort of metaphor. The Ramban disagrees, but whatever the case is, one sees that one has to be extremely careful how one speaks. Peh Kodosh reflects a Ben Torah, someone who, Baruch Hashem, people like yourselves who are among the Bnei Aliyah, who are moving up the ladder, little by little, to become great Talmidei Chachamim. And certainly one of the major aspects of becoming a Talmid Chacham is Peh Kadosh. He's trying to speak in a way which reflects Lashon Nekiyah, Nefesh Nekiyah, someone who's striving for Kedusha. Ramban Chumash is a famous Ramban. Ramban has a machlokes with Rashi in the beginning of the pasuk of Kedoshim Tiyu, beginning of Kedoshim. Rashi learns Kedoshim Tiyu refers to, Rashi says, Prisha min ha'arayos, min ha'vera, because of the juxtaposition to the previous Pasha that has a list of all the sexually forbidden relationships. So then the Torah says Kedoshim Tiyu, so Rashi learns it refers to the aforementioned parsha, namely that one should be parish min arayos. But the Ramban says no. The Torah is giving us a general kind of statement how one should behave, namely with self-restraint. In what areas? In the areas of eating and drinking. This is my discussion that I had with Harav Yehuda Rablowski Shlita, what I call the Papagayo discussion. And the Ramban says not only in the area of eating and drinking, but in other areas, even the areas that are permissible, such as one is allowed to speak, obviously not Lashon Hara, not Moti Shema, but to speak. We all speak, and we should speak, and that's the norm. And yet, the Ramban says, if one speaks excessively, or one speaks inappropriately, what he calls Benadibra Nimos, the Ramban says one is in violation of this Pasuk in Chumash, Kedoshim Tiyu. But one of the most famous comments on this topic is found in Mesilas Yesharim. Someone actually gave me a matana recently. Art School put out a new translation of Mesilas Yesharim. And I had a chance to look at it the last few hours. Someone just gave it to me. And I just looked at it because of this topic that I'm addressing. And I'm astounded by the Perush, an absolutely wondrous Perush, both literal translation as well as commentary. But the Mesilas Yesharim has in Perek Yud Aleph, one of the most famous discussions on the Pasuk of Sikavu Legalos Erva. And he writes the following, I'll just read some of it. First he quotes a Chazal, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty says, Al Tomar, don't say, Ho v'asil li lishtamish b'isha, since I'm not allowed to have relationships with a woman who's forbidden to me. Okay, so what shall I do? Hareini tofsa. At least let me grab onto her. Veinli avon. There won't be any sin. Hareini megafafa. Let me go ahead and hug her. Veinli avon. No sin. Hareini noshka. Let me go and kiss her. Veinli avon. This is not proper. Just like a person who is a nazir, someone who takes upon himself to refrain from drinking wine, not only does he have to refrain from drinking wine, but there are many gedorim, many fences that he has to build around himself, so too the same thing applies to a woman whom you are forbidden to. And then the Mesilas Yesharim Ramchal, Rabbi Shechaim Lusado, goes on to extrapolate from here something which is mind-boggling and is very famous. And he speaks about znus. Znus, of course, refers to, how would you translate the word znus? Licentious. Licentious behavior. And he says znus applies in five areas. B'maise, b'ri'ya, b'dibur, b'shmiya, b'machshava. In five areas you can have a concept of znus. Namely, action that a person does which is inappropriate. Inappropriate sexual behavior. Two, ri'ya. Ri'ya refers to sight. If one looks at, shall we say, again, sexually inappropriate items, dibur. What does dibur refer to? So here, says the Mesilas Yesharim, dibur refers to at a person by using language. And here he's specifically talking about language with reference to women. Many, many people spend enormous amounts of time talking about women. And shall we say, not in the most appropriate fashion. And that is what he calls znus bedibur. That's something which again is totally inappropriate. And one could argue, but everyone does it. Why should I be any different than the rest of the world? And what's amazing to me is that even people who have a sense of derech eretz, people who feel that they should respect other individuals, here they are demonstrating the height of disrespect. They are literally negating the tzelem elokim of another person. By describing them, a woman becomes a sexual object purely and exclusively. And I speak about her in such terminology. That's an undoing of the Tzelem Elokim of an individual. And the Ramchal goes on to speak about not only that, but even Shmia. And he says, Ervas Dibur Zenivol Peh. What he calls lewd speech is, in effect, considered to be sexually inappropriate. What he calls Erva in speech. And he quotes all the Gemaras that in Shabbos and Lama Gimel, a famous Gemara, Bavo Nivus Peh, Tsaras Mischachos, Ubachure Soneim, Shal Yisrael Mesim, as a result of speaking inappropriately, usually in the sexual arena, troubles will arise, and God forbid, Rahman al-Itzlan, Jews will die. Very strong language that Chazal used with reference to these particular items. So Nivul Peh is something that clearly is the very antithesis of what a Jew, what B'nai Torah, what someone who wants to go on the ladder leading to higher levels of Yirat Shamayim, of Kedusha, one has to, the extent that one can, one has to avoid, and one has to try to train oneself to speak B'lashon Nekiyah. I saw also once in the name of the Chazon Ish that someone in the presence of the Chazon Ish once reacted to someone else who said something. Sheker, the person said, that's a lie. Usually they add something to the word lie. That's a blank lie. Just fill in all the letters that you like. Not so difficult. And the Chazon Ish said that that's not the way one should speak. One should say not that it's sheker, but rather maybe it's not MS. Maybe it's not the truth. One has to try to the extent that one can, control one's mouth, control one's peh. And that is really the sign of what a Ben Torah is all about. So even though the world out there does not subscribe to these ideas, to these notions, but unquestionably, the greatness of a Jew lies to a large extent in the use of his or her peh, how they use their mouth. It reflects the kedusha of where a person is at. The sanctity of what a person is striving for, what we're all about. And by the way, the same thing applies. I'm not a big musical aficionado. That's the understatement of the year. Even though I scored highest when I took aptitude tests as a musician and as someone who's going to be have a successful career in music. And after that I came to the Maskana about these aptitude tests. But whatever the case is, one thing I do know is that Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question, and other Gedolim were also asked about blasting inappropriate music. And when I was traveling to the Bronx, as I began, wow, the music that I heard was, I wasn't sure where I was. Well, I was in an African safari, that was one possibility, or I was in some menagerie. I really wasn't sure exactly where I was. I do know that Chabal, usually I go with Chassid as I bring along my earplugs, because today the music is so loud, I find it to be damaging, Rahman al-Islam, to my Eustachian canal. But whatever the case is, here the music was mind-boggling. You know, the boom, bum, boom, bum. I thought that went with the 60s and 70s, those massive boxes. I don't know, Rabbi William Schlitter, maybe you remember those massive boxes. Probably they don't have it in Riverdale, because Riverdale seceded from the Bronx a long time ago. So perhaps that you would not know. But those massive boom-bam boxes, they still have them. Maybe they are chayz of an air. Once again, came back into action. Wow, you couldn't hear anything. Driving through the streets, mind-boggling. It was so loud, I couldn't believe it. I remember a number of years ago, we went actually, Rabbi Zinkin, you are here? No. Anyway, I went to visit one of his relatives, who actually has a factory. Hip hop. Are you familiar with hip hop? And we were given a tour of the hip hop factory. The latest fashions, very fascinating type of fashions. Ebony magazine and company. That's what I recall. Never saw Ebony magazine in my life till then. First time, and I hope the last time. But whatever the case is, we were introduced to hip hop. Not just hip hop dress, but hip hop music. Which is, I guess, in. I don't know what's in anymore. To me, it's all one big cacophony. One big raucous, deafening piece of noise. While I'm at it, I may as well, since I'm on a roll, mention a few more things. A married gentleman asked me, and then after he asked me, his wife asked me the question. She was embarrassed. Apparently he walks around in his home in his gatkes. Do you know what gatkes are? Not in his PJs. He walks around in his, as they would say here, tachtonim. Underwear. So she was stunned. She's recently married. And she asked me, do I think that's appropriate? And then he heard about the fact that she asked me this question. She asked me on the telephone, thank God. Otherwise, I would have probably fainted on the spot. I still have a sense of embarrassment. But many years ago, the Chabad Shaliach in Minnesota wrote a very, very beautiful kuntras, which is why people don't blush anymore. Anybody in this room blush ever? You do? When?
I say something unintelligent.
Ah, when you say something unintelligent, you are from the Bali Madrega. Clearly. You're a very high Madrega. I hope to become a Talmud of yours shortly. It'd probably be a good idea. So, both of them asked me this question. I didn't know what to say to them. And then he said to me, what's the problem? I said, what's the problem? There's a pasuk near me, imisaser ish b'misdarim v'anilar enonum Hashem. That generally is understood a number of different ways, but certainly one of the lessons to be derived from that is that a person, even b'misdarim, has to realize he's in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach, and one has to dress b'opin tzanua. And then she said to me, and this already has happened a number of times with a number of different people who have asked me this question, some of them even do it in the presence of their children. They don't have children, they're a very young couple. But in the presence of their children, what would you say here? Can I ask this question to the audience? Highly intelligent, B'nai Torah, we're going to become great Talmidei Chachamim. Do you think it's appropriate for a father to walk around in his tachtonim, as they call it here, in the presence of his children? Both young men and young women? Does anyone here think that it is appropriate? I'm asking. I just want to know where you're holding. I don't think anyone thinks it's appropriate. And he couldn't have, for the life of him, he didn't see what the problem was. He didn't know what I'm talking about. Generally, women have a much higher sensitivity to inyanim tzniyos than their male counterparts, although, b'zmaneinu anu, I think all the barriers have been broken down. So I don't think it makes much of a difference. But I believe that one should have a minimalistic sense of tzniyos, how one dresses, whether it's in the dormitory or b'chlal, among other people. I think one has to have a sense of self-dignity. Part of tzniyos is self-dignity. The sense of kedusha. I'm not saying you have to dress in your kapata and shtreimel everywhere you go. I'm not saying that you cannot wear appropriate dress, whatever it may be, PJ, shorts, etc., things of that sort. But essentially, to go about kigabra tiloi in your birthday suit seems to me that is not exactly the most tanua thing in the world. Okay, so what I've discussed, the truth is I wanted to speak about kosev. That's what I've been preparing the last few days. Rabbi Zinkin gave me directives. But he told me that, and I heard from a number of rabbeim in the yeshiva, that this topic would interest people more than kosev. Somehow I have a greater interest in kosev than in this. I don't know why. I'm obviously out to lunch. I've been out to lunch for many decades. Baruch Hashem. A number of years ago, I was in YU, the last Shabbos, and Rabbi Schechter was the scholar in residence. But when the time came to speak, so he gets up and says, we have a guest in Eretz Yisrael. And so he invited me to speak. I didn't really prepare anything, but I spoke anyway. And then in the morning, he said, I enjoyed myself so much with the guest of Eretz Yisrael, maybe he'll speak again. And so I was compelled to speak again in the presence of one of the Gedolei Ador, which is not very comfortable. And then in Shal Shunas, he gets up. Why did I ask Rabbi David to speak twice? Because he's a museum piece. So he really belongs in a museum. And that's where you should visit him. But you have him right here, live in front of you. And so, next time around, you'll go visit him in the museum. You'll see what once was. And maybe we can somehow see what things were several decades ago. I was quite embarrassed, as you can imagine, by that kind of a statement that was made. And then he said at the end, but I'm joining him too. I'm going into the same cage with him. I think one of the beautiful things about Judaism is the sense of tznius, of modesty, that we are able to develop in the course of learning Torah. I'm talking about tznius in every aspect of our lives. Tznius in dibur, tznius in machshava, tznius in the way we conduct ourselves. And one of the areas that we have to try to work on is tznius in the area of dibur. Because that really reflects the tzelem elokim, the kedusha of a person. And I agree, it's not an easy thing. The culture around us is very much antagonistic to speaking in this kind of a fashion, namely with tznius or with the sense of kedusha. But you know something? That's the greatness of Klal Yisrael. it's so amazing to me when I see, for example, and I, Baruch Hashem, try to hang around Talmidei Chachamim to the extent that I can. And my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper Zatzal, he used to speak about his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. How do I speak about Rav Moshe Feinstein? Kilu is a good friend of mine. Oh, Rav Moshe said this, and Rav Moshe said that, and Rav Moshe said the third thing. My Rebbe, never, in 20 years that I was associated with him, never called Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe. What did he call him? Rosh Hashiva. I was astounded. Why didn't he call him Rav Moshe? First of all, isn't that a more endearing way of describing someone? I asked my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper, after about 10 years of being with him, how come he doesn't call Rav Moshe the way everyone calls Rav Moshe? He almost fainted on the spot. Almost fainted. He told me the Yiras HaKovet that he has for his Rebbe does not permit him to say the word Rav Moshe. I was very astounded by that. I was in the presence of Rebbetzin Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha, Rav Moshe's wife, many times. I noticed that she called him also the Rosh Yeshiva. I said to myself, for goodness sakes, a husband and a wife? She doesn't call him Moshe. My wife does not call me Rosh Yeshiva, trust me. Baruch Hashem. She gives me good musa. Oh, ho. 1, 2, 3 punch. Gevaldik. Eze Kenegdo. The best thing I ever did was to get married. Then I discovered that when she would be with Rav Moshe privately, of course she called him by his first name. But publicly, never. Always called him Rosh Yeshiva. Yiras HaKovet. My wife told me that she heard from Rebbetzin Feinstein, she said about her husband, the pasuk in Tanakh, Ish Kadosh Oivir Aleinu Tomi. Wow. I don't know if you're familiar with that pasuk in Tanakh. So I was zochet to see Rosh Yeshiva, many of them, in the course of the last several decades. Rav Nevetzol Shlita, whom I made my Rebbe a number of years ago. He keeps telling me, no, lo, Rav David, atalamata etzel achirim. But I made him my Rebbe. Never once did I hear him call Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach what I call Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman, again, another dear friend of mine. What does he call him? Maran HaRav. Never anything else. Never. Lo Yitochet. And Rav Nevesel's wife, trust me, she calls him. Usually when I come there, I come with my wife, we come there. Came out 3 times a year. I can't come on Shavuos usually. Because unfortunately there's only one day of Shavuos in Eretz Yisrael. But I'm there on Purim, and on Pesach, and on Sukkot, L'kabo p'nei rabo b'regel, since I appointed him as my Rebbe. And so, I always try to get a picture with Rav Nevesel. We have many, many pictures. And always Rav Nevesel, the moment you come to take a picture with him, and my wife is there, sometimes some of my kids, by the way, he puts his hat down. He doesn't like to be taken, he doesn't like a picture to be taken of him. And this is a chumra of many gedolei Yisrael. And right away he says, Avigdor, tafsik et zeh. He says, Avigdor, stop this right now. Right away he straightens his hat and takes a beautiful picture with a beautiful smile. It's amazing when you watch gedolei Yisrael. Amazing. And I watch them, I stalk them as much as I could. Not getting hard for me to do that. I once actually stalked Rav Nevetzol. It was 2:30 in the morning, a.m. Binyamin does something similar, but 2:30 a.m. I actually hacked him at Chaynik one Monday night. I used to go to the Shmooz, and I hacked him. The Shmooz was 10:30 to 11. I was with him till 1:30. Imagine, my wife said, how much chutzpah could you possibly have? My wife says to me, I said, I don't see what the chutzpah is. I was speaking to Rav Nevetzol. I had a lot of issues to discuss with him. And she says, my wife's appalled that Rav Nevetzol didn't tell you anything. Didn't tell you, will you please go home? Will you please let me go to sleep? Will you please leave me alone? Okay. Okay, so I at 1:30 then went to the Kaisel, the Davin. And then around 2:30, I saw Rav Nevetzol around the Kaisel area. So I figured, not an opportunity. Why not? So I went over to him. Rav Nevetzol tells me, David, lo gamarnu. We didn't finish? No, a few more things to talk to him about. Anyway, you watch Gedolei Yisrael, how they speak, how they behave themselves, how they deport, how they conduct themselves, mamish mind-boggling. Pashut mind-boggling. I was with Rav Nevetzol a number of years ago. I was at a chasen in the Tamir Hotel over here, and I saw it was a one of the children of Avshalom Zalman Auerbach marrying off a kid. So I wanted to meet all of Avshalom Zalman's children. This was about 10, 12 years ago. So I asked Rav Nemitzel, can he introduce me to all of his children? So Rav Nemitzel said, sure. B'simcha rabba. We go from one child to the next. First we came to Rav Baruch Auerbach, Zechatzal Debracha. And Rav Nemitzel tells him, he tells Rav Baruch Auerbach, first he calls him Harav Auerbach. I couldn't believe it. And then he tells him, Zechaver Shali, Harav David. I almost faked that on the spot. Such a derech eretz, and such a kavod, and the way they speak. I'm sorry? Agoyim, correct. Nechon? Mind-boggling. And if you follow Gedolei Yisrael, you look at their language, it's just literally Kula Omer, Kodesh Kodashim. And that's how we have to strive for. Okay, we may not be able to reach those levels, very, very high levels of Kedusha, and but we have to at least, each one of us in our own way, has to try to come to the Madrega, where hopefully one day they'll say about us, Pekadosh! How could such a holy mouth say such a thing? Halavai we should be zoche to come to this level, and halavai we should be zoche to continue to grow in Torah and Yerushalayim, and certainly a good part of that is the way we articulate ideas, the Ruach Mamala that I mentioned at the very beginning. That is something that's very, very critical. Can I mention one halacha regarding kosev? Otherwise I will feel that everything I did was a vatola. I just want to mention two things. We actually learned the sugya, and there are two tznoyim for kosev. I don't want to mention just those two tznoyim. One is you have to write bedavar hamiskayim and al davar hamiskayim. The writing has to be durable, has to be everlasting, ink that is lasting, and writing on a surface that's durable and lasting. That's all I'll say, and the rest I hope mitzvah Hashem, idach zil gemar, when you go through the entire Shulchan Aruch, I hope mitzvah Hashem and go through the whole Masechta, because it's kedai to learn the whole Masechta. You have an opportunity this year to learn Masechta Shabbos. It's not such a difficult Masechta, really. If you start from the beginning and go all the way to the end, even Gemara and Rashi, if you can accomplish Gemara and Rashi, you are an Adam Godel. You are already someone who's achieved tremendously. And I'm telling you, it's not so difficult. I've done it maybe 10 times. And if I can do it, you are much wiser than I am and much smarter than I am. Certainly you can do it. Alavai Hashem should give you the schus, the siyata nishmaya, to learn Masechta Shabbos, at least the Gemara and Rashi. If you can learn Taisus too, even better. And if you can chazer it, minimally 10 times and hopefully 40 times and alavai 101 times. And all the Gemaras that discuss this, alavai Hashem should be mezak all of you to become great Talmidei Chachamim. And alavai they should say on each one of you, Kadosh, that you are literally mouths that are literally just mouthing Divrei Torah, Divrei Chachma. That should be the goal we should all strive for.